دایی یه فرصت خوب، حالا پشت مدافع، خدا داده عزیزی توی دروازه گل، گل برای ایران، خدا داده عزیزی باز هم روی زمین
گشت سردار آزمون و توی دروازه سردار آزمون، گل به نام آزمون و برای ایران
بزنه کریم انصاری فر
گل
توی دروازه کریم انصاری فر دروازه پرتغال باز شد علی دایی صاحب توپ توی دروازه گل
اشتباه حرکت از کوچان نژاد فرصت برای کوچان نژاد توی دروازه گل برای ایران
Stoppage time of the first half, and it's the opening goal of the game. Korea Republic pretty much dominating proceedings up until that point, and Heung-min Son with too much mustard on that one. Abedzadeh unable to keep it out. 63rd minute, across the middle, and there it is. They double their lead. Kim Young-won on the end, and just like that, the side in pink. In cruise control.
Hello, welcome back to Global Zone Podcast. My name is Arya Alaverdi. Today I'm joined by my two good friends, Pejman Pars and Arya Noorizadeh. How are you both doing, guys?
Hi, Aryas. Both of you. Let's get it on.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me on this podcast. Really appreciate it. I'm doing well.
Good to have you on as well, Arya, of course, from 29 United. Please go and follow him on Twitter. First, we'll be analysing the Iran versus South Korea match, which ended 2-0 to South Korea, a loss for Team Melli, the first defeat of the qualification for Qatar 2022, and South Korea's first victory over Iran since 2010. Iran dropped out to second position in Group A with one match remaining. Next, we'll preview the Iran versus Lebanon match to be played on Tuesday, and that match will be played at the Imam Riza Stadium in Mashhad. The match will be once again without an audience. Also, we will have a short segment with Ali Zinedine from Lebanon Football Guide, who will speak about the Lebanese camp. Also, check out Sahan's article on globalzonepodcast.com analysing the Iran versus South Korea match. Okay, guys, so obviously this match, as I said, was a defeat for national team. We'll speak about the first half first. Pejman, coming to you. Obviously, we had a lot of players missing. Jahanbash, Quddus, Taremi, Saeed, Zatullahi, Muharami. The lineup was a bit of a makeshift lineup for sure. You know, Khalid Zadeh playing at right back, Noor Afghan playing in defensive midfield. What are your thoughts on that?
I was really surprised to see Mirad Mohammadi, Ehsan Haj Safi, and Omid Noor Afghan all starting. I was expecting two of them, to be honest, not all three, because they more or less play in the same position or similar positions. So that was kind of worrying because Ehsan Haj Safi have, you know, declined in quality and speed. Noor Afghan played out of his regular position. And Mirad Mohammadi, I don't know what's happened to him in the last year or so in the national team. At least he plays regularly, more or less, in Athens. But it was worrying to see those three start. It means that maybe that we lack depth. And that's something maybe we'll go into later.
Yeah, well, we'll actually come on to both those points that you made later, Pejman. Arya, like the first half, we actually didn't start off the game too badly. We were on the front foot. The first 20 minutes, we didn't do too bad. There's a couple of times where we tried to win the possession back really high up the pitch. I think it was Nurullah, he actually won it back in their half or in their box even. And Haj Safi was through. Should have probably passed it to Qolizadeh. She probably should have definitely passed it to Qolizadeh. It didn't, and we missed our chance. What do you make of that?
So, I agree with what Pejman was saying. Players like Haji Safi shouldn't be starting anymore, shouldn't even be called up, to be honest. And the chance that you just mentioned right now is an example of that. The quality isn't there anymore. Ehsan Haji Safi isn't the Haji Safi he was a few years ago. And I feel like if this was another player, maybe, just maybe, that chance would have gone through.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's the captain of the national team, and I just don't know if he's leading the team to the keep up, to the standard that you expect of a captain, you know. I want to speak about something that happened in the game that I think was a turning point for us, is when Khalilzadeh had to go off as an injury, because he had a chest injury. I don't know what the injury was, but it was something to do with his chest or his abdomen. He had to go off, and obviously RF Golami came on. Now, I will say, Shoja actually had a decent game when he was playing. Defensively, he was quite solid and actually did protect our back four quite a few times. Having said that, he had to go off, and Golami came on at right back. Pejman, why? Why did he bring on Golami?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, all of the Estoril players have been doing quite well in the league. It means that they're getting regular playtime. It means they're in good shape. It probably means that they believe in themselves, and giving a call up when you're playing regularly. Hopefully it means that the good quality that they show in Estoril also can be shown in the national team. And we've seen that several times during like all of the coaches Iran have had last 10, 15 years, that being a good player in the league doesn't mean that much anymore, because it's different to play Messe, Rafsanjan, or South Korea, Nasrullah Ceyhan, Mazandaran, or Japan, or even like Iraq or UAE. And I think that's something, it's good for them to get some minutes against tough opposition, but RF was thrown into the wolves in a position that he's not used to. So we shouldn't blame him that much, to be honest. Mm. And South Korea was doing a good job getting back in the game after the good 15, 20 minutes that Iran had. So I don't want to blame him for anything.
Yeah, look, as I said on the spaces after the game, he came in. He's had an ACL injury a couple of months ago, and he's coming for his debut against South Korea away from home in a position that he's not used to playing. I just don't see why Skocic and his staff put a young player in that position. It's not fair on him, you know, to put him in that position. It's not fair. And I question back to the squad list we were speaking about last week. Why is he not brought in an actual right back to replace Moharami? Why did he need to play a centre back there? Not to say that Khalilzadeh was bad. He was decent, but he had injury problems, Khalilzadeh, which obviously it backfired when he got injured. And then he had Ismaili Farr on the bench, but he didn't trust to bring him on. I just don't see why you'd call him up then. I don't see what kind of message that sends out to Ismaili.
Yeah, but one thing, Arya, let's not forget that this is not anything new. I don't know how much we should blame Skocic for this. In the World Cup, Pejman Montazeri was a right back.
Yeah,
and
of
we
course.
Know that he usually plays in the center. Montapu Eleganji was like a defensive midfielder before, you know, getting back into the back four.
Yeah.
So playing in a different position that you're used to, the modern football can accept that, or we can accept that they can play that in those positions. But I do agree with you that a natural right wing should be in the consideration.
It's also, Montazeri was an experienced footballer, you know. Well, Colin made his debut, you know. It's a real shame that happened, but you know. That was definitely a turning point in the game. And of course, the goal was scored not long after by Hyungmin Son. Obviously, absolutely rifled it. But we will come on to this in a second. It should have been saved by Obizadeh, and he didn't save it. He fumbled it. He didn't. Maybe it was deviating. We can make excuses. He didn't save it. And it's not a good look for him. It's not something I was expecting from him, to be honest with you. And obviously, before the shot was placed, Ahmad Nurullahi just diving in for a tackle, letting the Premier League striker past him. Arya, why do we have to make mistakes like this in a key game?
Many reasons: not enough experience, stress, anxiety, I don't know, stuff like that. Obviously, if you had a time travel machine to go back, I highly doubt that Nurullahi would have done something like that, right? And it's
split second, right? It's split second decision.
Exactly. It's like he's in that sense where like he's like, oh, should I go for the tackle or should I not go for the tackle? He goes for the tackle, probably instantly regretted it. And yeah, led to the goal. And like you said, it was Abizade's fault. Unfortunately, he's not the type of keeper to let those type of shots in. But it's one of those instances where you just have to accept it. It happened and you can't get sad about it. It happened.
Yeah. Pejman, the debate goes on, doesn't it? The debate goes on about, is it Bayron Van? Is it Abizade? When do we ever stop with this debate?
As soon as Bayron Van gets back to regular playing time, the debate should be relevant, at least. Our third goalkeeper is changing all the time. Payam Niazman not getting any minutes in Portugal, making it difficult. I like Hosseini, our third goalkeeper. But we know that the third one is not the one we should put our energy on at this moment. So Abizade, he made a big, big mistake. He made a couple of really good saves though in the beginning of the second half. But
yeah,
you can't make that mistakes if you want to be a starter for a national team. So Abizade maybe will play the last game because it's not important for Iran in that case. And Iran is in playing at home. So why not even try the third goalkeeper for real? Why not?
I have a little thing to say on that.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, from my viewpoint, it's just who the better goalkeeper is at the moment. Abizade is just, quite frankly, more in form than Bayron Van is. So I understand Skocic's plan to put him into the national team for him to start. It does make sense to me.
I think what Amir Abizade has given us a different element when he's been in goals recently. I think he's really applied the distribution well, and he's helped us a lot. And I think even this game, there was a few times where he was able to pass the ball from his own box and really get us out of pressure, which is helpful. But obviously, he's a goalkeeper, and the most important thing is to save shots, and he didn't do that. So the question mark remains, as far as I'm concerned. We'll see what happens as the months go on. Before we get to speak about the second half and obviously the second goal as well, I want to speak about Milad Mohammadi. I don't know what's going on with him. I'm really confused. I tweeted about it as well. I'm a little bit worried for him. I feel like the last couple of years just hasn't gone his way at all, like in a really bad way. And I'm a big fan of him. I think he's always been a good left back for Iran, and somebody who moved to Europe quite early on in his career. But he just hasn't shown us the same Milad Mohammadi that we used to think of as a potential, fixed player for the national team. Nur Afghan has come in and he's been more impressive than him, if I'm being honest. Pejman?
I mean, you nailed it. That we expect more from him. I'm still glad he decided to stay in Europe. He gets regular minutes in Athens, in Greece. So maybe we just like overestimated how good he is. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, he's been struggling in national team. Maybe the way that Iran plays doesn't suit his kind of almost reckless way of playing offensively. It's hard to say. I'm not an analyst, but I think we need him still, and I'm sure he can contribute like the way we expect him to do in a short matter of time.
I mean, you can see the players were getting frustrated with him in the first half. I think Osman kept on, telling him to just stop playing down the line. You know, he's playing the ball down the line to Amiri, and it wasn't working because South Korea were reading that pass, and there were times where he could have played into Osman's feet. And I feel like maybe he's just being too cautious. Maybe he's made a little bit too many mistakes recently in his career, and now he's becoming a little bit too cautious, doesn't want to make the same mistakes. He's being too simple. And I think sometimes when players become too simple and they want to, you know, hold back from doing risky things, they actually make more mistakes as a result. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen. I want to see Milad improve, but I think it's maybe time for Nadiri to come in. Aria?
Yeah, I agree. But I've seen you tweet, Aria, about Milad Mohammadi saying that he has regressed, and in the comments a lot of people did agree with you, and I also do agree. Because, you know, we all know Milad Mohammadi has that fast fullback that was very good in Belgium and in Russia as well. I haven't followed him at all in Greece. I have no idea if he's doing well. And it's really sad to see his, it's going to be a little harsh here, decline. But I still think he's useful for us. I think he's still useful for us. But I don't think he necessarily deserves to be our starting fullback from now on, if that's how he's going to continue.
Okay, second half, obviously, I think the reason why we're splitting it like this is because I think the first half was a different game to the second half. In the second half, we were very poor. You know, we gave away a lot of chances. We missed a lot of chances as well. Aria, we conceded a goal as well. And that goal we conceded, I think, was just like the final blow. I don't think Iran were ever going to come back from that. And, you know, really, do we just think that ultimately Korea were the better team on the day, or were we just not good enough?
Yeah, 100%. I think Korea were better than us. They knew that ultimately, you know, we didn't have most of our starters. They knew that we wouldn't be as good as we were in the first game against them. They knew all of that, and they took that to their advantage. Paulo Bento knew what he had to do. They came in a packed Seoul Stadium, 60,000 people, and they nailed it. And, you know, just hats off to them. I hate saying it. It really, really does bother me saying it, but they were just a better team that day. And, but this is an opportunity for not only the players, but Skocic to now sit behind and, you know, think about, you know, what's going to go on with the national team from now on. If we've played like that against our only real opposition, with no disrespect to the other countries in our group, what will happen in the World Cup? You know, we can't play like this. And even though, again, it's a huge factor, a lot of our players were missing, but for me, that's still not an excuse. Even with most of our players out, even with a couple of players out, we should still be able to do well against a team like Korea.
Yeah, Pejman?
I understand the narrative that's in the first really hard game for Skocic, he failed, and therefore he should, you know, his credibility was kind of on the line in this game. It's a bit harsh, in my opinion, to have that kind of thought, but I understand it. I understand where it comes from, to be honest. But let's not forget that Iran, this is not the first time Iran played and lost kind of badly against a team that is similar to Iran, or maybe that we accept a better kind of end of the game. So I have no problem saying that South Korea were the better team and were smarter, they were faster, they took advantage of Iran's mistakes. They were able to force Iran to make mistakes. So let's give credit where credit is due, you know. I think they could have scored a couple of more goals. And Iran, let's not forget as well, they had a couple of really good chances. And Iran have been quite lucky in the qualifiers so far. Lucky in the sense that they've been managed to score goals like late, or taking advantage of opportunity. It wasn't really an opportunity. So for the last game, South Korea were the better team, but Iran could have scored a couple of goals and then everything would have changed. As we said in the beginning, Ehsan Hoshnafi should have passed Polizadeh, and in the 15 minutes, Iran would have taken the lead away.
Look, I mean, for me, if I'm being honest with you, Korea were very good. I mean, they kept possession really well. You know, they passed the ball very well. They created some good chances, especially on the second goal. You know, there were the if you I mean, from a Korean perspective, that's a fantastic goal to score. The play is really good, and Iran defensively just could not handle the speed of play of the Koreans. You know, they were so quick. And the worrying thing for me is, and I come back to the whole thing of, okay, like ultimately, yes, we're missing players, but this is a COVID-19 era. We're going to miss players in the World Cup. You know, it's going to happen. So we have to have a good level of depth about our team. We're going to face teams better than South Korea, and potentially you're going to miss a couple of key players as well at the World Cup. If we perform like that, with players missing, you know, if Taremi, for example, can't make one of the games of the World Cup, that's a big worry sign for me, because as a national team, you should be able to have a good level of depth. And Iran, I think, over the last 8 years has been able to gather a decent pool of players. And I'm a little bit concerned that even with that, we're playing at a standard that just isn't good enough. I actually didn't expect that, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm worried, but I do think that we still have a strong core of players who will come back in and really improve us when they're back. But we need to have strong players on the bench and to be ready, because it will happen in November. Of course, as I said, Young Kwon Kim scored the goal. That was pretty much game over. We had a couple of chances towards the end of the game. Sayed Manesh came on. He actually had quite a good performance. I think him and Mehdi Poor came on, had a good performance in the second half. Sayed Manesh crossed for Osmoun. Header, you know, good save from the goalkeeper, you know, straight at him, really, to be honest with you. And then obviously Sayed Manesh missed a chance towards the end of the game as well. Pejman, how crucial is it that we can finish our chances with the lack of a Taremi?
Of course, it's really important, because against better opponents such as South Korea, you maybe only get one or two chances during the 90 minutes, and it's important to make the best out of it. And I do believe that Sadat Özmoun is a really good option for that. He is a really good striker in the box, and he's, as we've mentioned a lot of time, his partnership with Taremi is crucial for us. And I think that Iran, the best Iranian team with the best players in best shape and doing their best games of their lives, they can score against any team, any natural team in the world. I do believe so. So it's really important that this core of good players can continue to progress together.
And obviously on top of that, you know, we got a question from Twitter from @consciousflesh. He's asking, you know, what was the obstacle from getting the ball to Osmoun? Because obviously he was isolated pretty much for the full game. Why could we not get the ball to him?
From what I've seen from Osmoun recently in the Bundesliga, it seems that he is not in his top form whatsoever. He's been quite frankly terrible for Leverkusen, so it doesn't help having a striker that is up top alone, out of form with the national team. It's not going to help. And we can see throughout the whole game he was struggling, and it doesn't help when you're playing against a team like South Korea in a game where you pretty much have to win. Everything is on his shoulder, and nothing happened from him. And I think people were being very harsh on him. I've seen a lot of criticisms to him over the past few days that, oh, you know, where's the Osmoun that we all know? Where's the Osmoun that, you know, scores 2-3 goals a game? When a player is out of form, and again, he's had COVID injuries and all that stuff, it's not going to help him. So it's a little bit an individual part that comes into play, that he's not good enough right now.
Right.
But on the other side, you know, the whole team in general wasn't that great against Korea, right? And when that happens, of course, the striker is going to be isolated. Of course, he's not going to be able to do anything. So I think it's a little bit of both.
I think what he's trying to ask in his question is more from a tactical point of view. I think if you look at the game itself, and actually the lineup that he played Amiri and Golizadeh pretty much alongside him, you know, on the wings. You know, neither of them realistically are strikers. They're never going to be strikers. They're always going to be, wingers. They're always going to be, deeper players on the pitch. So the problem really ended up being he had no one next to him. No Taremi. There was no Sadio Mané. There was no Kane Mansour. He was all on his own. And the South Koreans were just free to mark him and just, let him get on the ball. When he had knockdowns, no one was there to receive them. And ultimately, he was all on his own. And when you do that, I think from a coach's standpoint, I think it's not good. You know, he it's happened before, Osmoun. He's played on his own and it didn't work. It actually happened with Taremi as well. I think it was against Syria. He was all on his own. It just didn't happen. There was no support. And when you have the likes of Hoi Safi behind him, you have the likes of Ahmad Nurullahir behind him, who aren't necessarily attack-minded or quick enough, how is he ever going to get support, And I just feel like as soon as Aloyar came on, it happened. It was great. But before that, it was just nothing. It was zero. And I think that's a big coach's mistake for not recognizing that and just leaving your striker isolated.
Yeah, exactly. Osmoun isn't a player that can play alone. We've seen at Zenit. He's usually always paired up with Artem Dzyuba at Leverkusen. He's been paired up with Amin Adli, Schick in the future. And yeah, like you said, it's Kocic's fault on that. And maybe next time he's actually going to know what to do now.
Well, of course, we missed out. We didn't have Taremi for this game, so it's not easy to replace him. But I think Aloyar should have started, in my opinion. Okay, Pejman, anything to add on that?
No, I think it was a good analyze.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so last point I want to make before we move on to the Lebanon game, and I think this is a question that I think a lot of people want to see answered, is should Skocic be sacked? And would it actually make a difference if he gets sacked, Pejman?
What a stupid question from whoever said it. Can we say so? Sorry for
actually,
it. It's a Twitter question.
We got a lot of, I'm not going to name anyone because we got a lot of those questions on Twitter. A lot of people are asking about who should he get sacked, would that even make a difference, etc.
No, of course he shouldn't get sacked for this one game. Why should he? I mean, he don't have the trust of a lot of people, whatever. That's not important. This is the first game, a game that wasn't important for Iran, and he lost against one of the toughest opponents in Asia in a okay loss that we have talked about. Should he get sacked for that? Then this is not the Iranian league where they sack the coaches all the time. I mean, they have to think outside their box, that they're so petty minded in my opinion. So no, let's just move on.
I mean, we've got 8 months to go to the World Cup. Like, you can't be sacking your manager 8 months out, in my opinion. You've it's too little too late. If you're going to sack someone, you would do it a year, maybe two, I'm going to say 10 months. But after that, it's done. You need to go with it. It's the Federation's responsibility.
Is that like the thank you for saving Iran in a crucial moment when Mark Wilmots almost lose the World Cup spot? No.
I don't think that would be fair on him, especially the fact that you're right, he's taken us to the World Cup, and ultimately we were in an absolutely worse situation a couple of years ago. We lost to Iraq, really badly. And we got out of that. But obviously we're not in a great situation, but I think we can't just disregard what's happened these qualification matches. Aria?
I don't know. For me, it's mixed feelings. On one hand, I want him out. On another, I don't, because it is quite late to sack him. It's true. But on the other side, I keep asking myself, would Iran have survived if we were in the other group with Saudi Arabia, Australia, and Japan?
But who cares, man?
Under Skocic?
Who cares? Who cares? It's not important. Iran wasn't in the other group. Iran wasn't playing against Japan, against Saudi, against China, Vietnam, Oman. It doesn't matter.
But we're going to be in the World Cup with teams that are going to be harder than that.
Of course, but it doesn't matter. His job was to take Iran to the World Cup, and he did it by more or less winning all the games that he needed to win. Iran lost away from South Korea. Italy lost at home against North Macedonia. Okay, I mean, so should everybody get sacked all the time? Japan lost at home against Oman in second game.
But they bounced back from that. They're first in the group now.
But I know, but I'm saying that you can't just sack somebody because of a loss. The Oman win or Japan's loss against Oman is much worse than Iran losing away from South Korea. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Make a little point here. Are we becoming a fan base that can't even take losses? Like, does it get to the point where as long as we lose a game, as soon as we lose a game, oh yeah, you need to sack the guy. New coach comes in. You know, it happened to Wilmots. Okay, the way we lost with Wilmots, the time it was really early on the qualification. That makes sense. For me, that made sense because also he was on a ridiculous wage. But with Skocic, he has actually proven a good amount that he can do decent with the national team. You know, decent is probably a little bit of an understatement. He's done quite well overall. So to then sack a guy after he's won almost all his games, he's only had one draw against South Korea and one loss against South Korea. Okay. But ultimately, he's done really well. And then to say he's going to sack him, like, come on, man. Like, if that was anyone else, I would be shocked. Just because it's the Iran national team head coach, we're okay with it. I think that's ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, and as you guys mentioned, half of the starting lineup was missing. I think if we had all our best players against South Korea, it would have been a different game for Iran.
100%. 100%.
So, like Taremi, maybe one of the best strikers in Europe at the moment. So his lineup with Osmo,
definitely. If it was different, if we had Osmo, if we had Taremi and Osmo up front, I don't see why we can't score. Why we can't at least score a goal in this game? You know, we had chances. You know, that we did. It's not like we didn't have any chances. We did create chances, but we just didn't take them. So, is what it is.
But Arya, you said, if the fan base is kind of becoming, you know, very persistent on sacking a manager after a loss. Yeah, emotional. Personally, I kind of do relate with that. Being a Bayern Munich fan, you're not used to losses. And it switches on to national teams, right? I know you're an AC Milan fan. I'm sure it's the same for you.
Yeah,
we're not used to it. But we're not used to it at all.
The thing is, it's not because of that. It's because it happened to Wilmots. Wilmots got sacked straight away, and they think that just because he got sacked straight away, now he can get sacked as well. Like, come on, like he's just won like what 17 games in a row. Like, it doesn't matter the opponents. It's national team football that's as good as it is going to get in Asia. We can't manifest better national teams in Asia. That's the best it's going to get. So, whatever he's had in front of him, he's won those matches, regardless of performance, which I'm not going to get into because I do actually think we've performed quite badly in some of these games. But ultimately, we've got the results. And I think this is a results business. And if you get results, you can't just sack a guy for that, even if you don't agree with his decision-making or call-up list or whatever it may be. And I'm actually one of those guys. I still don't agree with the sacking of a coach who's won so many matches. Anyway, let's move on from this topic. Let's hear from our friend Ali Zinedine from Lebanon Football Guide, who spoke about the Lebanese camp ahead of the match on Tuesday. All right, I'm joined by my good friend Ali Zinedine from Lebanon Football Guide. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. Glad to have you back on for the final match of the qualification in our group. Speak about the Lebanese team. Any team news going into this game on Tuesday, and any injuries or suspensions?
We have no suspensions or injuries, but we have a player back who is Rabi Ataya, one of our key players. He was suspended for 3 games after the Arab Cup, and he'll play this game. We'll be missing the players who missed the Syria game, like Basil Jouradi and Hassan Matoub. Of course, they are also key players. Felix Melki and Alexander Melki too. Two of our best players, I think. Because of their absence, we lost this game. This not just the result, but this performance too.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the last time we played against Lebanon, finished 2-1 to Iran. But you know, the last two goals Iran scored were in the last, you know, 5 minutes of the game, and it was a difficult game for Iran. Lebanon really, you know, they scored early, and then we couldn't score our chances. But you know, obviously you guys have lost against Syria 3-0 in this last game. What is the emotion like for the Lebanese team?
Let's say our hopes were not high. We should win the Syrian game and then maybe get a point from Iran, or at least not lose in a big result. So our hopes were not high to reach to have the third place in the group, but we wanted to win, you know, the Syria game, because we won also the first one, and we thought that maybe because the Syrian team have a new manager for the third time in these qualifications, and we are okay, we have the good players, even if we are missing some key players, we should have won the game. But we're not just upset with the result. We are upset with the performance. We're upset from the players and the coach. The media is really upset. The media said that the coach does not have the courage to play in an attacking way.
Yeah.
Even the Syrian game, the first one, if you watch the game again, we played the same way, but we had luck scoring our goals from outside the box. Their goalkeeper also made some mistakes. So we just wanted to win this game and then go to play against Iran. And maybe we get luck to get a point from there. Even it's very hard to get a point from Iran in Iran.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
What are your thoughts on this game on Tuesday and your prediction, please?
I'll say we're going to lose again. We just hope not to lose with a big result like the same against Syria. We see that Iran are missing some good players like Jahan Bakhsh and Taremi, even if they are as a substitute players. We are also missing our players. The thing is, it's not just about the tactical things. The players are upset because of the result, because what happened in the game, not just with the result of the game, because we think that FIFA will ban Lebanon to play matches inside or in Beirut, because
yeah,
they had some really bad atmosphere there. So the players are not happy, the coach is not happy. He said sorry to fans, the media, to the players too. We just want to finish this qualifications and get ready for the Asian Cup.
Thank you very much, Ali. I appreciate the time and all the best for the upcoming Asian Cup.
Thank you, my friend. I'm glad to be with you.
Okay, we're back. Let's preview the Iran versus Lebanon game very briefly. Obviously, on Tuesday, we'll play it in Imam Riza Stadium in Mashhad. How should we line up, Pejman? Obviously, we have actually Jahan Bakhsh and Taremi back. I'm not sure about Quddus yet, but Taremi and Jahan Bakhsh are back, and Saeed and Muharami as well. So how should we line up?
Well, let's field the starting 11 as strong as possible due to the fact that we don't know when Iran's next game will be. There are, at the moment, no official friendlies booked, so Iran's next game will be in November that we know of in the World Cup. Of course, there will be some friendlies before then, but at the moment, there aren't any. So let's field the strongest players, in my opinion. If you want to change a position, change maybe the goalkeeping position. That would be interesting to see. Sure. Or maybe some players that, you know, are on the, like, a couple of positions where it's the competition is really tough. No, like Shoja, Khalilzadeh, Kanani, and Majid Hosseini, there are three fighting for two positions.
Yeah.
But now that Khalilzadeh is probably off, it would make it easier for Majid Hosseini to start. So.
And also, I just want to mention, Majid had a very good game against Korea. Just want to point that out.
Fanboy is alive.
Arya, obviously, as I said, we have players coming back, and we could still finish first in this group. You know, South Korea, if they drop points against UAE, we can still finish first. It's not done. We're still got a chance. What is the key to this to victory? We had a tough game against Lebanon last time around. We won the game 2-1. We scored a couple of last minute goals, but this is different. So Lebanon just lost 3-0 to Syria. What do we need to do?
Before I say what we have to do, that first Lebanon game, listen, man, I don't even know what I was watching. That was one of the weirdest games I've ever watched in my life, especially for an Iranian team. But this time around, I think, you know, we've just come back from a loss. I think the players are sad, disappointed, and we want to finish this campaign off with a win, right? So I'm expecting us to just go in there, absolutely smash Lebanon. And like Pejman said, I think it's a good opportunity to give. I think it's a good time to give our third goalkeeper a chance to play.
Yeah.
You never know. But other than that, nothing really to add to that.
Pejman, what about you? What do you think of this this match? How do we win this game?
6-0. I hope it's time for that. I said it every game, but this is the one. 6-0.
Yeah, I think we have to win really convincingly against Lebanon to please the fan base, first of all. But also, I think for ourselves, I think it's important that we win this game convincingly, because I don't know how many friendlies the Federation are going to organize between now and November. You know, I said on the spaces, they have 7 friendlies that they can plan between now and November. That's the allocated number from FIFA. If they plan 5 friendlies, I would be happy with that. But any less than 3, I would be very disappointed. You know, they should try to aim for 5. And even if they aren't the best teams in the world, I don't really mind. As long as we get good preparation games ahead of November's competition. Arya, what's your prediction?
Maybe not 6-0. I think that's way too optimistic. I'd say 4-0.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that high-scoring game. I really don't know how the players are going to react. I would hope they're going to react positively against Lebanon. I hope that the likes of, if it's Alayar starting, or even maybe even Ghorizadeh again, I hope these players are given the freedom to go out and really just showcase some talent. And obviously, they're going to play in the modern stadium of Imam Reza Stadium. So hopefully that kind of, I don't know if that's going to boost or anything for them at all, but we'll see. I think that's pretty much us there. I think we're going to do a couple of fan questions and we can finish off. First fan question comes from at AmirPW on Instagram, also at Golden Scope on Twitter. They're both asking the same question. Pretty much, did this game show that we have a lack of depth? Pejman?
Yes and no. In some positions, we have a lack of depth. Yes, that we saw, like on probably on both wings, and in the offense, it's almost the opposite. We have too many good players, but we need to make them sure that we can work together. But yeah, there is. My answer is yes.
I think not only did it show that, but it also showed that, you know, we're not as comfortable defensively as we think we are. Because we did have a pretty decent defense by all means. We had Majid and Kanani, who are two of our best. We didn't feel that comfortable at all times, you know. I think there's some question marks there, for sure. We're not all there yet. We still have to put, there's a lot more to do, a lot more to organize. Between now and November,
Arya?
To be completely honest, I think you and Pejman absolutely smashed it. There's nothing else to add for me.
Well, the question for you, Arya, comes from at Behrouz Iran on Twitter. He asks, what has Team Meli to do in order to have a realistic chance of reaching the round of 16 at the World Cup?
Ultimately, it all comes down to our group, right? Hopefully, the draw is going to be in our favor. But I think, you know, a lot of the players that are in our current squad were in 2018. You know, they have experience. They've known how it is. And let's be honest, in 2018, we weren't that far off getting there, right?
Yeah, one point, one goal.
I mean, I don't want to go back to the whole Portugal miss, but we were very, very close to making it out of that group stage. So I wouldn't rule us out just yet. But again, my answer to that would just be it really all depends on who is in our group.
Right.
Because we have to approach teams differently, right?
I've got to disagree with that, to be honest, Arya. I'm sorry to do so, but I actually think it comes out into the preparation. You know, I don't really care who we get in the group, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, it would be nice to get an easy group, but ultimately, we're going to have to get ourselves prepared.
For sure. I agree with that 100%.
More important than anything, because in the last World Cup, as you're mentioning, we had a tough group. We had Portugal, Spain, and Morocco. But we prepared ourselves so well that when we got to Russia, we weren't just going to go out there and just go for a holiday. There was a real plan. There was something that we were building towards. That is the goal. The goal isn't reaching the second round right now. Right now, that's the ultimate goal. But the goal today is, are we going to prepare ourselves properly between now and November? Is the Federation going to give us friendlies that are going to be suitable enough to prepare us as a national team?
Sorry to cut off Pejman right there, but so basically the answer is to get more friendlies.
For sure.
Yes, we can, as Obama said. and how we do that is, yes, a good group is crucial. Having all our important players ready in good shape is even more important. Having good harmony, having good balance is really important in the squad. So if any time, this is the time for Iran to qualify to the second round.
For sure. Guys, thanks a lot for that. Hope you all enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to check us out on our website at goalsandpodcast.com. We will have an article before the match on our website, and we will do live spaces on Twitter before and after kickoff on Tuesday. Stay tuned and follow us on all social media and podcast platforms, and see you all very, very soon. Take care. Thank you, guys.
Hello everyone, my name is Saeed Azatollahi and you're listening to the Goal Bezan podcast.